Amen. All right. Thank you guys for that. It did cross my mind after the announcements. If we do get a snowstorm, and some of you have been posting about possibly next week, we put it on the church website and on the Facebook page and on Channel 69 News, I think. So if there's ever a confusion or ever a thought, you know, is it being closed or whatnot, you know, you can check those sites. We'll let you know, if try to give everybody enough of a warning. And I think we say this every year: if it looks bad, don't come. We live in a very multi-terrain area, and the snow sometimes hits the north really hard, and we get little down here. And so those people that are up north, you know, you might, you know, if it looks dangerous, please don't feel like you have to be here. Okay, we try to say this every year: if it looks dangerous, don't come where you're at. It might be fine here. We might still have church, but if you're snowed in, then don't try to come. So just for future reference, for those in case we do get like some sort of snowmageddon next week or something like that. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we've been going through the book of Ephesians for the past year and a half as I've had opportunity to preach, and it seems like those opportunities are running out, so luckily we're getting toward the end of Ephesians. So this week and next week we should be able to wrap up the book of Ephesians. So if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 18 through 20. As I read earlier, a full passage here. Let's just start with verse 18 and read down through verse 20. Paul says this. He says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and as we talk about this topic of prayer, as Paul brings it up again in the book of Ephesians here, Lord, we talk about prayer. We thank you for the privilege we have to be able to come to you at any time, at any moment, with any care, with any concern, and you are there ready and waiting to listen. And so, God, now we ask that you meet with us now as we look into your word. Lord, help us to be able to apply it to our lives so that we can grow in our confidence in you, so that we can grow in our spiritual warfare. We pray all this in your name. Amen. There's a story of three ministers who were sitting down one day talking about prayer in general, and, you know, the appropriate and effective positions for prayer. And, you know, as some pastors do when they get together, they talk about the little detail things. And they were talking, and as they were talking, there was a telephone repairman working on the phone system in the room in the background. And one minister shared that he felt that the key was in the hands. Right, he always held his hands together and pointed them upward as a form of symbolic worship. He thought that was the best way to pray. The second suggested that the real prayer was conducted on your knees. And so he thought that it was important to kneel down when you pray. The third suggested that they were both wrong. The only position worth its salt was to pray while stretched out flat on your face. By this time, the phone man couldn't stay out of the conversation any longer. He interjected. He said, "I found that the most powerful prayer I ever made was while I was dangling upside down by my heels from a power pole suspended 40 feet above the ground." Prayer is extremely important. And as we come to this passage here today in Ephesians chapter 6, this is the third time that Paul has talked about prayer in the book of Ephesians. He first talks about it in chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, if you want to turn over there for a second. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "For this reason, because of I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. And so here in chapter 1, Paul prays that God gives them an ever-expanding understanding and awareness of God's power that is available to them. Again, he talks about prayer in chapter 3, verse 14 and following. If you want to look there, he says again, he starts with the same phrase. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." And then where we're at here in chapter 6, verses 18 and following, as we just read. So three times in six chapters, Paul has taken a break, kind of, to talk about prayer. And so we see right off that prayer is pretty important to Paul. And so here, when we get to verse 18, he says, "Praying at all times," which he has already kind of exemplified for us throughout the letter. And as he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, "Pray without ceasing." So we're continually to be in prayer. Now, as we look at these verses here, there is something a little bit different that I want to point out in these verses than the other times that Paul has talked about prayer. All right, this word that he uses, praying here, it's not a finite verb, but it's a participle that is dependent on a previous verb. Okay, and now, for the three people in here that aren't geeks, you know, probably maybe we have three geeks in here that, okay, I kind of understood that. But let me kind of explain, because I have trouble understanding it too when we get verb and starting into the grammar and stuff. So let me explain it this way. It means that when Paul's talking here about praying, it's connected to what's previously been talked about. All right, so if you look at your Bible, and I know it's an English translation of the Greek, so the verse numbers weren't normally there, and the paragraphs weren't normally there, and the paragraph headings weren't normally there. But if you look at our English Bible and turn back to chapter 1, you'll see that if you have the one like mine, it when we get to verse 15, it kind of cuts it off and it starts a new section. They're like, this is a new idea. Okay, Paul's moving from what he was talking about before, and now he's talking about prayer. All right, and so my title there, it says Thanksgiving and Prayer. I don't know if anybody else has that title, but mine says Thanksgiving and Prayer. So Paul is starting a new thought here. When we get to chapter 3, verse 14, again, maybe many of your Bibles, there's a new paragraph started, and it says, mine says the title they have there is saying, "Pray for Spiritual Strength." All right, it indicates that Paul is kind of switching gears a little bit from what he was previously talking about. But when you get to chapter 6 and where we are between verse 17 and 18, there's no gap. There's no new paragraph. There's no title heading there. If your Bible does have a title heading, don't tell anybody because that'll ruin my illustration. But but Paul here is keeping the thought, the flow going. It's connected to the armor of God. So what Paul is talking about when he talks about prayer this time is it's not just, okay, let's talk about something else. We talked about the shield, the helmet. We talked about spiritual warfare. Now let's go into talking about prayer again. Instead, it's completely connected with that spiritual warfare. And so maybe you're here today as a Christian and you say, you know, I'm much more of a doer rather than a prayer. You know, if somebody needs to hear the gospel, well, I'll be there. You know, I've got it down pat. I can get there. I can speak the gospel to them. Or if somebody denies the Christian faith, you know, and says, well, here's all the problems wrong with Christian faith. Maybe you're the person that'll be like, oh, well, I have all the books of how to defend the faith, and I'm ready to be there, and I've got my arguments ready. Or maybe you think, you know, if when Satan attacks, you know, I'm ready with my Bible verses. I've got my Bible highlighted in different colors for different temptations and things. And so when Satan attacks, I'm ready with my Bible verses to throw at Satan so that he backs off. But there is an extremely important part that prayer plays in the spiritual battle. And I just didn't expect to say all those P's right there. But prayer plays a great part within our spiritual battle. And so if you're not praying, you're losing the fight. That's what we can discern from what Paul is talking about here. When he talks about praying at all times, he's connecting it to that spiritual warfare and saying, you know what, these two are locked together. If you're not praying, you're not doing all to stand. And as one commentator put it, Paul is presenting prayer as the foundation, as foundational for the deployment of all the other weapons. Prayer is at the heart of spiritual warfare. The Bible is clear and insistent that none of us are going anywhere in our Christian life if we're not praying. Unfortunately, I know for myself, I often use prayer as the last option. You know, right? I'll try everything else, and then it's like, I guess I should pray about this. That's not what Paul is talking about when he's placing his importance on prayer here in spiritual warfare. It's near the top. It's how you put all those armor pieces on. It's how you put everything together. It's how you, as he says in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And so Paul says, praying at all times. He goes on to say, in the Spirit. That is to rely on the Spirit to lead us. We are to seek the Spirit's guidance, direction, and help constantly in our prayer. It's not about what I want or what I think should happen. That's not to say that we shouldn't have specific requests, because we do. I mean, I gave you specific requests today. You know, we need to pray for Reader. We need to pray for John this week during surgeries. But our prayers should not be defined by our agenda, but refined by the Holy Spirit's agenda. I wonder if too often we fall into the danger of thinking that God only answers prayers when he gives us a yes. You know, I've often heard stories, and they're good stories. They're answer to prayer stories. But sometimes they come out like, well, rent was due in a week, and we started praying every day. God, give us, you know, how are we going to pay this rent? We need you to help us. We need you to help us. And we prayed on Monday, and we prayed on Tuesday, and nothing, and Wednesday, and nothing, and Thursday, and nothing, and Friday, and it was due Saturday morning. And we prayed Friday, and then Saturday morning, you know, the money appeared. You know, God showed up, God gave us, he answered that prayer. And yes, God did answer that prayer. But I think maybe too often we think, well, God didn't answer that prayer till the last day. But I wonder if he doesn't answer prayer all along. You know, it's not always the yes that God gives. Sometimes it's the not today. Sometimes it's not yet. Sometimes God even answers prayer with a no. And you say, well, how could we do, I mean, how could God do that? How could God see a need that we have and say no? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because Paul talks about this. Paul had a prayer request that he took to God, and God said no. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have the same Bible I do, it's page 970. Just putting that out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look down starting at verse 7. Paul writes this. He says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." And so here we have something is bothering Paul. Something is hindering Paul. It's probably not literally a thorn in his flesh, but something is hindering him from ministry. And what we're going to see here, he says in verse 8, he says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." So Paul is taking this request for him. There's something, and it's commentators differ on what they think it was. Maybe his eyesight was going, or maybe it was some physical ailment, or somebody, you know, confronting or somebody opposing him or whatever. We don't know exactly what it was, but it was something that he considered that was hindering his ministry. He considered it something that was holding him back from fully serving God and doing everything he could for the gospel. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But then verse 9, he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast. And then Paul says, so that was Jesus responding to Paul's prayer request. Paul comes pleading to Jesus with this prayer request that I need this, Father Jesus, you need to help me here. And Jesus says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, it's often our strengths are the things that we rely on. You know, the things that it says Jesus relies on are weaknesses. Jesus uses our weaknesses to show who he really is. And so Paul goes on and says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamity. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul realized that those weaknesses, those things that he thought, God, you need to change this so that I can be a good Christian, so that I can be a confident Christian, so that I can minister, so that I can preach the gospel. Those very weaknesses Christ was able to use. And that's why Christ allowed him to have those. And so Jesus said no to Paul's prayer request. Why did he say no? It was for Paul's spiritual good. God is not looking to fulfill our wish list, even as good-hearted and as well-intentioned as it may be. But he's looking to grow us spiritually and strengthen us in the spiritual battles we face day by day. And so it is extremely important that we pray in the Spirit, that it is in tune with what God wants and what we should and what we need from him. He will answer with our best interests in mind. Don't just look to see what God is doing in the yes, but also in the not yets and the no. So Paul, when we pray, to pray in the Spirit is to look to God to guide our prayers and to lead us in prayer so that we're following his agenda rather than ours. Paul goes on, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Now it's an interesting word. We don't use it much anymore, but you know, so supplication. What does that mean? If you have the NIV, I think it uses the word requests. A different version might say petitions or your earnest pleas. This is bringing your requests before God. God does want to know our requests. He wants to know our struggles. He wants to know our hurts. He wants to know our pains, the things that we're concerned about. And so Paul tells us to bring those requests before him. There's a story about an elderly gentleman passed his granddaughter's room one night and overheard her repeating the alphabet. She was kneeling by her bed in a prayerful position, but she was repeating the alphabet in an oddly reverent way. And so he stopped and he asked her, what on earth are you up to? And she explained, she says, I'm saying my prayers, but I can't think of exactly the right words tonight. So I'm just saying all the letters. God will put them together for me because he knows what I'm thinking. All right. And that's not a half bad idea, because sometimes we don't always know how to pray. All right. Do you ever get in that spot where it's like, okay, well, how do I start? How do I end? You know, what does the middle look like? If you are kind of new to prayer or struggling to figure out, you know, what do I just give him a list? Do I, you know, is it like my Santa Claus wish list or what is it? There's an acronym that is often used. It's called ACTS. And so let me spell it out for you. ACTS is A-C-T-S, just like the book of Acts. Helps us to remember the elements we should include in our prayer. The first element of prayer should be adoration. That's the A. What does that mean? It just means praise. All right? Praising God for who He is. All right, well, you find a lot of this in the book of Psalms. Psalms 9:2 says, I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And then also in Psalm 22:23, David writes, you who fear the Lord, praise Him. And in fact, this is how Paul started out the book of Ephesians. Again, in chapter 1, verse 3. He starts out with this long sentence about praising God. He says this, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And he goes on to praise God. And so as we come to the Lord in prayer, it's important that we start out by praising Him for who He is, right? Because He is God. He is the creator of everything. He's the one that holds it all together. He's the one that has the grand plan that's better than any plan I can come up with. And so He's the one that we need to praise when we first come to Him in prayer, because it helps us to remember to be humble when we get to our requests. Because if we're saying, God, You are great because You created everything. You're in control of everything. You have a plan. You know what's going on. All of a sudden I start thinking, oh yeah, I really don't know what's going on. You know, I kind of want these things, but I'm not exactly sure if I get these things how it's going to end up anyway. And so if we start out by praising God, we end up inside of that humbling ourselves for when we come to giving our requests. Second, so A, adoration. C is confession of our sins. As we remember who we are, when we come into God's presence, we see that we have come short of His holiness and have need of His forgiveness. There's a great example of this in Psalm 51. If you read Psalm 51, it's David's confession before God when after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and then found out that she was pregnant. She sent her husband out to the front of the battle to get killed, and then he married Bathsheba, and he went on living like this until he was confronted by Nathan, the prophet, who said, hey, look what you did. You know, David didn't even see it. And so Nathan confronted him, and it was clear David's like, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I sinned like this before God. And so if you read Psalm 51, that is David's confession before God after he was confronted with this by Nathan. And he goes to God and he confesses his sins. It's important for us to continually confess our sins to God because, again, it continues to humble us and show us who we are. We don't have it all lined up. We don't have everything in order. We're not even in control of our own lives. And so as we confess our sins, we bring those to God. So A, adoration. C, confession. T, the third letter, it stands for thanksgiving. When we pray, we should always give thanks, remembering the grace and mercy God has shown toward us and the blessings He has given us. Paul thanks God in chapter 1, again, verse 16. We kind of read earlier. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. It was back just before Thanksgiving in youth group. We did a little exercise where it was, okay, let's write down, I forget what number it was. It was like 10, 15 things that you're thankful for. All right. And it's a fun exercise to try. It's a real eye-opening exercise. But you kind of list off the things, and we gave the teens time and to list off what they're thankful for. And then since we were talking a little bit about Paul and him being in prison, we said, okay, now imagine you're in prison. All right, you're all alone. How many of those things on your list are you going to have to cross off? All right, now what are you thankful for? Okay, because oftentimes, I know myself, when I'm thanking God, I usually end up thanking Him for all the material things that I have. Oh, God, thanks for the nice house, livable house we have. You know, thanks for this great church building we have. You know, and oftentimes when listing the things that we're thankful for, it becomes the material stuff. And then we realize if we're in Paul's position where he's at right now in prison, how many things do I have to be thankful for? That might change up my list a little bit. I might have to rethink through that list a little bit. And so what we did with the teens is we went through some of Paul's epistles. Again, I'd encourage you to read through this. Read through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and just write down what Paul is thankful for, and you'll find like 0% is material. I mean, unless you think being thankful for other Christians, their people, maybe. But that might be a stretch, but it's all the spiritual blessings that God has given us that Paul is thankful for. And so as we go to thank God, let's make sure that we thank him not just for the physical things, because he has given us physical things, and we should be thankful for those, for our home, for the freedom we have in this country. But think about the blessings that God has given us, the spiritual blessings, which Paul talks about in the whole first section of chapter 1. So that's the T in the acronym for Acts. And then finally, fourth, is supplication. Prayer rightly includes supplication or petition, bringing our requests for the needs of others and ourselves to God. Paul writes this in Philippians 4:6. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so, with this acronym of ACTS, hopefully it's helpful for you. I know it's helpful for me at times, because oftentimes when I think, oh man, I got to pray quick, it's just that list just comes out of please do, please do, please do, please do, please do, please heal, please, you know, and it's that list, when really there's a lot more involved in prayer. And so this acronym may be helpful to you. Maybe you use something else, but hopefully it's helpful in going to the Lord in prayer constantly, as Paul calls us to here in Acts or Ephesians chapter 6. And so Paul here, again, saying, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance. Again, it's kind of giving us this spiritual battle mode of be alert, continue on. You know, it kind of continues to connect it to our spiritual warfare. Make supplication for all the saints. I'm just going to divide this ending here into two different categories and take it as general prayer requests and specific prayer requests. There are times where we need to pray for general prayer requests. Paul here is calling for us to pray for all the saints. Well, you know what? I don't really know everybody, every Christian around the world, so I don't always know how to pray for them, but Paul is still calling for us to pray for them. There are Christians in Asia and in other countries where Christianity is illegal and they're being persecuted. One of our missionaries from Russia, but our missionary, we have a missionary in Russia, and he knew of another missionary who was American. Now, our Russian missionary in Russia is Russian, so he can stay there. But other American missionaries have been kicked out. And so there is persecution going around, especially in China as well, where we need to be praying for all the saints. They are suffering and being persecuted for what they believe. And so it is important for us to have general prayer requests for Christians around the world, Christians in the U.S. who have been affected by different, you know, the different natural disasters that we've had going on. You know, the fires out west, you know, the hurricane and flood damage down south. And just there's been so much going on, and it's easy to quickly forget about that, you know, the day or two, because it didn't affect us. So it's easy to quickly forget about that. But Paul is saying, hey, constantly be in prayer, because I'm sure there's people in those places, there's Christians in those places that still may not have a place to live, that still are working on, you know, rebuilding is going to take a while. And so Paul here says, hey, let's not forget about all the saints. All right, let's pray for all the saints. He goes on in verse 19 and says, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Paul asked for a specific request. He asked for boldness in speech. And so as Paul here asked for them to pray specifically for him, to have bold words to speak the gospel. Now, at first glance, it might be, boy, that's an interesting prayer request. You have this guy, he's in prison, all right? Probably not the best of conditions, but his request is that he has boldness to speak the gospel. And now, the truth is, he's probably, in the upcoming days, weeks, months, going to be going before the Roman authorities, whether it's Nero or somebody under him, and he's going to be presenting his case, because that's why he's in jail. He's headed toward the highest court of all. He's going to be giving his case before the Roman government. And so, yeah, I guess you would need bold words. You know, that would be a little bit nerve-wracking to... It's just water in the pipes. So that's all it is. It would be a bit nerve-wracking to have to go before people and to speak, you know, the words of the gospel. But the truth is, all of us need boldness. And I think we can pray for each other, asking God to give each and every one of us the boldness to present the gospel. Because even with the freedoms that we do have here in America, the gospel is still being opposed, all right? The gospel is still being pushed aside. And so people are, it is offensive to some people. It will stop eventually. It's okay. I hope. And so, I lost my train of thought. And there it goes. All right. And so anyway, we have opposition to the gospel. So we all need boldness to share the gospel because, as Paul says, it is the power of God to salvation. That is where the power of God lies. It's in the gospel. The gospel is God's power to open up the eyes of the blind so they can see their need for a Savior. And so as we pray specifically for each other, I would encourage us to continually pray for your fellow Christians in this church, because many of them have unsaved relatives, unsaved friends, unsaved neighbors, unsaved co-workers. And all of us need the boldness to proclaim the gospel, because it is something that every single person in this world needs right now. And there are people out there that are hurting. There are people out there that are angry and anti-Christian. There are people out there that just don't know what's going on. And all of them need the gospel. And so we need to continually be in prayer specifically for the boldness to present the gospel. Paul calls himself here an ambassador in chains, which is actually a bit of an ironic statement, because ambassadors in that day kind of had diplomatic immunity, right? So for an ambassador to be in chains, that's basically the government. If Rome sent an ambassador to a different country and that country imprisoned him, Rome wouldn't take that very well. All right, and yet here we see Paul considering himself an ambassador for Christ. He is the spokesman for Christ, and he is in chains, which just indicates the hostility of this world and this world system. As he said just verses earlier, Satan in control of this world, the demonic powers in control of this world, oppose God and his gospel. And so Paul, who is an ambassador for Christ, he is the spokesman for Christ, he is in chains, and he is asking for prayer that he might boldly proclaim the gospel. There's a story about George Adam Smith, who was a Scottish pastor, late 1800s, early 1900s. He tells of a story when he was climbing a mountain in Switzerland. It's called the Weisshorn, or I guess Weisshorn, in Switzerland. It's one of the tallest peaks, one of the major peaks in the Swiss Alps. And as he was climbing, he had two guides to help him along. And I don't know if it was a group or if he personally needed two guides to get there. But he said it was on a stormy day. But they were climbing up the side of the mountain that was sheltered from the storm, really. And, you know, as you get high up in the mountains, the winds really pick up. We did a trip when I was younger, trip out to the Rockies. And you get up near the top of those peaks, and it can get pretty windy. And so, but they were on the sheltered side as they were approaching the top. And reaching the top, and exhilarated by the thought of the view before him, Smith sprang to the top of the peak and was almost blown away by the gale wind. The guide caught hold of him and pulled him down, saying this, and this is what George Adam Smith relayed and said he never forgot, "On your knees, sir. You are safe here only on your knees." For the Christian in the midst of a great spiritual battle, the safest position is on your knees. Paul instructs us to continually be in prayer because it is the Christian's fighting stance. We need to be in prayer always. We're a part of this great spiritual battle. And so, how do we apply this to our lives today? Well, I don't know about you, but I know that I can spend more time, should spend more time in prayer. And so, what I want to do to encourage you guys to pray today, or this week, to grow in this area, I just want everybody to look to their left. And I know we're kind of small, so look to the left, look to the people to your left, look to the people to your right. All right, I want you to specifically pray for them this week. And I'd encourage you afterwards, just ask, say, "Hey, I'm going to be praying for you this week. Is there anything specific I can pray for you about?" There are a lot of prayer requests in this room. I know, because as a pastor, I hear most of them, and I try to get them out to you in the email. So if you don't get the email, please see me. I can take your email address down. But in the church announcement email, I try to keep up with those prayer requests. But there is a lot of requests. There's a lot of requests for health. There's a lot of requests for saved relatives, for saved friends. There's a lot of requests for wisdom in decision making. And so to those people to your left or your true right, if you don't have anybody one direction or another, pick somebody else. Pray for them this week. And after the service, go up and ask them, "Hey, what can I do to pray for you this week?" Also, specifically take to prayer this week our new pastor and his family. Really, it's got to be nerve-wracking to know that you're selling one house and not knowing where you're going for the second one. So specifically pray for them that God would give them wisdom on where to live once they get up here, that God would provide guidance for that. And then as they kind of transition in here, pray for that as well. It's going to be a big transition for them and for us as a church. So that's the application. All right, so I want to encourage you this week, take extra time in prayer for these things, for these people, for your church, that God would use this church and grow this church spiritually. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again today. God, we want to praise you because you are such a great God. We can't understand just how powerful you are. We can't understand how wise you are, how all-knowing, how loving you are. But God, you are a great God, and we know that, and we praise you for that. Lord, we come before you today with so many requests. But Father, we ask that your Spirit guide us and lead us in our prayers this week. Lord, that we may know who you are, know what your plan is, and be willing to follow in your guidance, to willing allow your agenda to set our prayers, not ours. So, Father, we thank you for all this. We ask that you bless us as we go out today. As we close in this song, Lord, we pray that it would once again be worshipful to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.